Welcome to Software Testing Unleashed, the podcast for testers, developers, and all software people who want to create best quality software. My name is Richie. I'm a software quality coach, author, and keynote speaker, and happy to bring you an episode live from the HUSTEF Conference 2025 in Budapest. HUSTEF is one of the greatest conferences I've ever been to. Top quality talks, amazing people, and that unique mix of friendly and intense atmosphere you only find at truly great events. If you have ever get the chance, go there. Seriously, you will love it. My guest today is Leandro Melendez. You better know him as Senor Performio. Besides his deep knowledge about performance testing, he is also a very active part in the software testing community. Just to mention his YouTube channel, his live sessions on LinkedIn, and when I recorded the other episodes at HUSTEF, he had his podcast studio next to mine, and I saw him always doing good interviews with a lot of people from the software community. So please join his channels too. But before doing that, listen to this episode, because we talked about the evolution of performance testing in the last 20 years. What changed? What is still equal? Which tools are used? And how to start a performance test strategy? And now, enjoy the episode. Before we start, one quick note. Do you know this nagging uncertainty that you might have missed some crucial test when it is time to hit the release button? And did these worries ever turn into customer complaints because something was really broken? And there's a way out. TeamScale shows you all untested changes so you never miss one again. On December 3rd, they will show how this works and which success stories it achieved over the past 13 years. Join now online and for free. Visit tul.fm/ts. You also find the link in the show notes. And now enjoy the episode. Welcome, Leandro. Happy to have you here on my show.
Yeah. It's such a pleasure, Richie. I'm super excited, and for a change, I'm on the other side of the mic.
Yeah,
super happy to be
and
here.
And now you are here. We're here at HUSTEF. It's my first HUSTEF.
First as well. Super happy about this experience.
I think you are part of the family since years here.
No. I'm just... I feel like we people blend well in this conference.
It feels very familiar,
friendly.
Yeah.
I'm liking it a lot.
Yeah, and it's great because you have the studio next to me, so we are doing both interviews. You're doing more lives on LinkedIn, so you have to all check out
Leandro's
page. We will link it. But now you are my guest, and I can answer. I can question you everything I want to know.
Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. No, I'm kidding.
Because your nickname is Senor Performio.
Yeah.
It leads me to the think of performance testing.
that's why in English, performer people thought for some time that it was just like a stage performance that good at dancing or something like that. I'm a very bad Mexican in that level.
Yeah, but you can dance, so maybe.
if you ask my people, I'm a very bad dancer. Here in Europe, I think I'm in a different level, but salsa, I don't know.
Yeah.
But no, it was performance testing.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I do performance on stages. Yes, talks. But still very much aligned on the performance testing practice. Now getting a little bit more on observability, monitoring. But still being in the QA trade, you start to learn. I mean, you need some manual testing, can do, functional automation done, integration. And it's great that after a while you start to get skills. Being here in conferences, you hear the other speakers, you learn about the new tools, not necessarily on performance. Choose a little hidden story. I was anti-agile before I started to come to conferences. And here I learned how to embrace it. So that's another one where you start to grow, you start to learn more skills. Now I really like Agile. I get mad when people don't get well into it. So it's sets of skills that you can add up. And I've been doing some Agile speaking, performance, QA, IT. So whatever you need, Evan. Salsa dancing, I'll do my best.
We'll do the dancing things later on. But let's get into it, the performance testing, because I did performance testing in one project, I think,
15 years ago, and I think it had been evolved since then. And maybe you can give us a brief introduction about the history of performance testing, so up to the moment where we are now.
So once upon a time, at least when I started, because I started on performance testing 2007, 2008. I jumped on the LoadRunner. I was that was my first love, my first tool. And you're right, on those days, it was a lot of load testing. If you have heard me and you know I have this common rant, performance testing is not the same as load testing. But in those days, it was... You mentioned performance, it was a load test. Yes, that was, because we were on waterfall, we were bare metal servers in the basement or under a desk. I knew many productive servers that were under a desk and a person would sit there every day. And yes, we did performance testing in a very different way in the past. It was lots of scripting from browsers, reverse engineering, trying to figure out the tokens, the session IDs, correlations. It was madness. But I think it was, I call it a Stockholm syndrome, because it was fun madness after a while. And you enjoyed it. I love to be correlating and finding where is the missing needle in the haystack. But you cannot be chasing needles sprint by sprint nowadays with Agile, with the cloud, Kubernetes, ephemeral environments that will pop up and be destroyed completely, is not the same game. And I am a strong advocate of moving away from the old practices. You hinted it very well, like 15 years ago. It was the game. It was the best way in which you could test a system. But nowadays, we also have more APIs. Everything is service-oriented. You can test the performance of a system, first of all, manually. What? That used to be like, they would burn you in green wood if you said that in the past. What are you going to have a bunch of people inside of a room clicking at the same time?
Yeah.
On those days, world was kind of, now you can, it's a user. You can have a bunch of users release techniques that in the past they didn't have like a, maybe they had a few, but now blue, green, canaries, A/B, beta testers, like you can have small load tests with real users. And what's better than a real user to do the most realistic clicks and activity or directly call those APIs? Stop recording so much from a browser and think of some of the results. What are you getting out of the performance test that you're doing? And again, I'm being very careful, performance test or load test. Because a big thing that has changed, in the past, you had your bare metal server that you had to compile and do the release and was once in a lifetime or every 6 months or a year. You had to be ready and you had to be sure that that single box would be able to take the load or respond well at the very least. But nowadays, we're already in production. If you're doing Agile in a right way or kind of correct way, which means to me, release at least once a month in production, not pre-productive. Rollback, have the capacity to roll back easily and pay attention to what happens in production once it hits there, not only operations, not only SRE. QA is also responsible. So if you have those capacities, you don't have to test for load, for capacity, every sprint, every time that you do a release. And that's a silly approach nowadays. We are generating the load from cloud devices and we're having our system in cloud infrastructure. So cloud to cloud, doing a massive test, you're just spending a lot of cloud money doing that every sprint.
Yeah.
And especially because we have the MVP hopefully already in production, you should use observability monitoring to know that your system is running well and to make sure that the new change that you added keeps running well. Your car has been running for, I don't know how long have you had your car, years maybe.
Yeah.
If you change a tire, you don't race it to a racetrack to see the capacity. No, you just check if still works well and feels well with a new tire. And I think that's a modern principle for performance, not so much.
And it's maybe I'm right or not. So you tell me. Nowadays we have also it's less effort to scale a system. It's just a volume you turn on in the cloud. And in former times you had to buy new stuff and to increase the capacity of the system.
Nowadays it's even automatic.
Yeah,
you have elastic systems that will grow based on need. Which is dangerous as well, because going back to the car analogy, I love car analogies. I'm not a car fan, but I don't know. They help me explain. But if if your car, let's say, is elastic and you can always put more fuel on it if you need it, but if it has no hole in the tank, bad performance, it's not tuned, and it gives you, I don't know, 1 kilometer per liter, that's not good, even if you still can pump more. So you got to be careful as well. That's another tier that nowadays we have to take into account. It may be responsive and quick and be able to take all the users, but maybe you are spending 10 times more than you should because the performance in the back end is not the best.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that you don't have those holes in the gas tank or the oil tank or leaking oil. And that's another tier of modern performance that organizations have to be very vigilant.
Yeah.
But they are still trying the load tests every sprint.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense. Are you familiar with the Taylor Swift situation and the ticket company?
No.
Oh, you're not a Swiftie. Okay.
No, I'm not a Swiftie. Sorry.
So not long ago, there was a big concert from Taylor Swift. And the ticket company, that I don't like to name them because they didn't do load testing.
Yeah.
And they had lots of problems, lots of situations. It was in the news. It didn't make it to Congress and almost split the company and was big, a big situation. Yes, load testing is still important, but it's not part of the continuous release.
Yeah.
I mean, we all wish that Taylor Swift came to our project every sprint.
Yeah.
but no, that's not going to happen. We are not going to have Black Friday every sprint. Yeah. Why are you testing for Black Friday every sprint? Why are you testing for capacity? You have your MVP, you have your production, you are releasing little things, measure for that. When you have a big situation coming, yes, do a big load test, but outside of the pipeline. Outside of the continuous, that's not a continuous event. And that's something that many organizations are not aligned, are not picking up in the best ways. And I think that's what I have been preaching the most over the last few years. Now, you were mentioning the cloud and that we have more elastic environments. Beware, load testing cloud environments can get super expensive.
Yeah.
So be careful with that. That's a big one.
Yeah.
But that as well goes aligned with, in the beginning, the cloud was cheaper.
Yeah.
Because they wanted everybody to jump into the cloud. So the cloud providers were like, this is early promotion.
Yeah.
Like cheaper, just get into our platform. We'll look the long-term price eventually. I have a feeling that is happening with AI as well nowadays.
Mm.
And everybody is attacking the AI adoption in a way that right now is super cheap and the tokens and the credits, but it's going to get expensive if we are not using AI in performant ways. I'm starting to kind of call it performant AI, especially money-wise, because that's where you're going to be worried about. AI may respond quickly, maybe really powerful, the general models. But if you have a specific model, let's say you train one based on your code, based on your results, you are not sending so many tokens with all the context all the time, because that context in performance can get really big, really fast. And the token expenses, right now they say, it's super cheap, we're not spending, wait until the real price comes.
Yeah.
And that's another one that lately I'm advocating a little bit, like, beware of what types of AI. Is it a general LLM? Is it a model that you're trained? What type of AI? MCPs are really cool, but be careful, what are you connecting the A2A, I think it's the latest thing that is right now. That can get out of hand pretty quickly if you are not careful. So some performance elements that, yes, it's responding fast. Yeah, but that's not the only thing that you should care for. So that's another layer for performance that.
When I transfer it back to performance, I think when it's so easy in the theory to scale up our systems, and you said it can be very expensive.
Yeah.
So is there nowadays than in former days more focus on doing really performant things and the deep of the system in early stages, in the design phase, in unit testing phase, to think about all this performance stuff that we don't have this this needed of scaling done so much? So to think about performance in the beginning of the project and not when doing just a test at the end?
I'm seeing it more now that the teams are starting to be careful with the cloud expenses. And they are from the beginning like, ooh, how can we make this to not to be so expensive? Because in the past, some organizations were kind of careful with that because they were limited by the size of the box that they had. And this new elasticity and for management, it's always money. If the bill starts to get a bit high, like, hey guys, what is happening?
Yeah.
Why is our cloud environment being so expensive to just stay on? And if you are not careful, in the past, people used to think like performance is lots of users, all of them slamming the system, utilizing it. But nowadays, again, if you turn on your car, you don't drive it.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there on, it's consuming gas. Same happens with the cloud. If you are not careful tuning it in a right way, if the instance is not killed when it's not being used, new measurements of performance, how fast is the new instance coming up, the new pod or whatever are you infrastructure you are using, how fast is it coming up for the new load that is happening?
Yeah.
That's a new set of measurements that not everybody is used to kind of measure in performance, because in the end was just response time from the client and that's it. But now response time from the pod.
Yeah.
How long does it take for the pod to be out once we are not using it? Is it like super active and like, I'm saving as much as possible. I'm dying right away.
Yeah.
Oh, that has some impacts. Okay, let's leave it 2 hours on. Oh, that also has impacts. So that's another new challenge, like getting to that sweet spot where you get the least cloud expenses, but the best response to sudden increases in loads or sudden activity starting suddenly. That as well is, if the pod is not on, when you're the first one on the platform to say, you will be the one seeing the spinning wheel for a little bit and like, this is really slow. And everybody after you will be like, no, it's fairly
good,
fast.
Yeah.
And that's as well, like, do we care for that single guy that at the beginning had a bad experience and everybody else has a good one?
Yeah.
Lots of decisions. So it's really interesting nowadays, the performance challenges and things that you have to pay attention to.
When I'm now a tester in a development team and I said, okay, we have to think about performance, what is a typical way to start on these days when it's go to performance? So
a person that wants to start their career?
No, in the project. I think as a tester, we have to think about performance. Maybe the developer should be aware of. How do we start? How can we go into it?
So the best way, I call it the minus one, day minus one tasks, where you haven't even started the project and you start to set the ground rules. What are we going to use to monitor? If the developers have to create automations to measure performance, or are they going to instrument, or both, hopefully both, what platform, do the platform tell us the performance metrics? All of those decisions are the best practices to do before you start a project. But being realistic, most projects are already running and no one paid attention to those details. And I would say the best practice nowadays is not to focus that much on automations, but to know the performance, and you don't need an automation to know. In the past, that was a common practice because the systems were sealed, only the admin had access, and it was just like, those were other times. Nowadays, you can put agents, instrument. There are open source projects that if the team adopts them right away at the beginning of project, or okay, you have been already running for a few years with this project, add it right now. Start building whatever you can, have it in place. With the cars, again, I like that example. You don't have to get off your car, lift the hood, pull the little thingy to check the oil that we used to do. You already have everything in a dashboard. Would you buy a car that doesn't have a dashboard that tells you everything nowadays? It's the same. Would you start a project where you don't have a dashboard to tell you all the performance metrics of your system in a way that all the team will understand it? You understand most of the things on your car dashboard, like the speed, the gas, and good ranges and numbers, not just like a voltage from like a sensor. No, I want to see something human with numbers, colors, make it pretty. So I think those would be the first steps. Have observability, agents, and some telemetry so that everybody in the team will be aware of that.
Yeah.
And then let developers make it as easy as possible for them to create automations and measurements before, after, during. There's a shift left, shift right, shift up, and shift down, which not everybody talks about. Have observability at the browser level, at the backend level, infrastructure level. So it's many things that you could do, but the bare minimum, have observability, know what is your performance without doing anything.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
know it.
Okay. That's, I think, a great insight to give to start on and to begin with all this topic, because it's such a huge and complex. So you have to start in any point.
Yeah.
Sometimes organizations get lost. And sadly, I mean, the sponsors here might not like me too much, but many times it's like the tool.
Yeah.
What tool am I going to get? There's no A tool.
Yeah.
And I always get this question. Nowadays, I used to dislike it, but now I just smile and what's the best tool for performance?
Yeah.
And if I give you like a dinner table, have all the silverware, what tool would you choose for eating? Wait, what? A single tool? That's the point.
Yeah.
You need to embrace many tools, many platforms. Whichever works the best for you, try to have it in place and don't lock yourself inside of a single type of tool. That's super, super important to start with performance.
Yeah.
And the vendors always have the spiel that, oh, low testing, because I sell a tool that is low testing. So you should, no. And that's old, 15 years ago, as you say. Even 20, like some of those practices, really old.
Yeah. Great. Thank you very much, Leandro, for this insight into beginning into performance thinking. It's also a very, very new topic again for me to think about this stuff. I appreciate it very much that you joined the show here. And you are also doing a lot for the community and have your own channel on YouTube and doing all the LinkedIn live stuff. So we will put in all the links in the show notes.
Thank you.
Have to join him and follow him too.
Subscribe, activate the bell and all the YouTube stuff.
All this stuff. Yes. Thank you very much that you were here. I wish you a great conference and good interviews here. And see you soon.
Yeah. I look forward to this next month.
Yeah.
And I look forward to more opportunities. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Amigo.